How are you doing? I'm just awful. On a Wednesday night, as I prepared for Thursday's evangelistic outreach in downtown Tampa, Florida, I did not ask God to bless my work. Instead, I prayed that I would be able to plug into what my Father was doing. While I had participated several times in college and school distributions, I'd never been involved in a cold call person evangelism event, and I was really terrified. You see, I thought it all depended on my great skill. The Lord had a very important lesson for me. Our team of three arrived at the parking garage at Florida and Washington, which is located, if I can get this to work, there we go, close to downtown Tampa, Florida bus stop, where all of the city buses come together to pick up passengers. We split into teams of one. As I walked west on the south side of the street, I noticed a woman crossing the street with two bags and her head turned down. I said, "How are you doing today?" And she said, "I'm just awful." I held out a testament and I said, "I have just the thing for you." She looked at me strangely and she said, "Who sent you?" I thought for a moment and I said, "God sent me." She replied with, "I knew it." Things were proceeding a little bit more rapidly than I had expected. At this point, with tears coming to her eyes, she said, "I have done such terrible things in my life." I pointed to the GPS, God's plan of salvation, in the back of the testament, which lists Romans 3:23. I said, "We have all sinned, as you can see right here. The good news is that God loves us and has provided a path to establish a relationship with him. As you can see here from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." I then asked her if she had a pen, because my great wisdom, I didn't even bring a pen with me. She said she did, but that she would have to put some of her things down to get to it. We moved to a little shelter where she verified from the kiosk that the bus to Brandon would come by there, and from the electronic posted schedule, I noticed we had about 4 minutes before the bus left. No pressure or anything. I asked her what her name was, and then I wrote Kimberly's name and the date in the front of the PWT, the Personal Witness Testament, and I said, "This is now yours. Look at the back of the book, and after you read the materials here, if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you can indicate that by signing your name, and then you become his." There were about 30 people standing around waiting for various buses, and Kimberly took the little testament, and she started to read. And she didn't read in her quiet voice. She read loud enough so everybody's head was snapping around and listening. And she said, "Confessing to God that I am a sinner and believing that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross and was raised for my justification, I do now receive and confess him as my personal Savior." And then she immediately signed and dated the page. That wasn't my playbook. That wasn't what I thought was going to happen. But that's what he had planned. She then held up a piece of paper that she said a woman had given her just a few minutes before. The paper told her that God loved her no matter what she had done. It had a number of other encouraging statements from the Roman road, obviously made by someone who knew Jesus and wanted Kimberly to know him too. "I'm so grateful that God answered my prayer by enabling me to be present for the last step of Kimberly's salvation experience and the first step in her new life. When I last looked at Kimberly as the bus to Brandon was departing, she was standing beside the driver and her arms were going around. And I just know she was sharing her new faith with the bus driver." To God be the glory, great things he has done and is doing. From Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. In the past, the Gideons have been able to distribute God's word to children and teens in schools. Sadly, that is no longer possible. Most schools prohibit the distribution of scripture on campus. We still do have some distributions on the public sidewalks adjacent to the schools, but the experienced bus transportation makes it much more difficult. The last several years, we've begun distributing scriptures at fairs and farmers markets. We plan to be at the Charlotte County Fair in late January, early February, at the Sarasota County Fair in mid-March, and we're at the Englewood's Farmers Market and the Venice Farmers Market every week. This has opened up a whole new distribution process for school children. They often come to the fairs to explore the agriculture there, and they are very open and willingly accept scriptures that are offered. Pray that God will continue to find ways to help us get his word into the hands of school children. It'd be interesting knowing that we now have a new avenue of scripture distribution to help reach the youth of America. The program, which is facilitated through church youth pastors, involves an in-school, peer-to-peer distribution to Christian high school students of a booklet referred to as the Life Book to their classmates. We went dead. I'm not sure why. There we go. Let's try it. The Life Book began in 2010. Since then, about 48.8 million copies of the Life Book, which contains a short recap of the Old Testament and the entire Gospel of Mark, have been provided to 3.5 million Christian teens for distribution to their peers. Let me see. Each Gideon is a business or professional man who is a born-again believer and an active member in good standing in a local church just like this one. We exist for one purpose, to bring others to Jesus Christ through personal witnessing and by placing God's word in the traffic lanes of life. I think I may have a battery problem here. There we go. Schools, college, and university distributions will be at the University of South Florida in January. Hospitals and nursing homes and doctor's offices, hotels and motels, prisons, our EMTs, and our military. This thing, there we go. All right. I'm having technical difficulties today, in case you noticed that.
I was raised in a nominally Catholic family. We went to church on Christmas and Easter, and I didn't take anything away from that brief flirtation with religion except for the fuzzy idea that there was a God and that I'd have to give an account of my life to him someday. Right out of high school, I went into the Navy. I was assigned to my first seagoing duty station, a ballistic missile submarine. Sailors aren't known for carrying Bibles around. Right then, as I was thinking about the deepest questions of life, one of my crewmates, right then, providentially, held up a little Gideon Testament and said, "Hey, somebody gave me one of these when we were in port. If anyone wants it, you can have it. Didn't cost me anything." That's exactly what I wanted. I took that little testament and I started reading it, and it gripped me. Here was the truth. Here was the meaning and the purpose and the significance and the direction that I was looking for in life. All I had was this Gideon Testament. And I'd come across passages like Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So as I knew how, I prayed, "God, this is the life that I want. I believe you've done this for me through your son, Jesus Christ. I want this relationship with you." And, you know, all those hundreds and hundreds of feet of seawater and that titanium hull of the submarine were nothing for God's grace. It just penetrated all of that and went right into my heart. So I went on to Bible college, and then from there on to seminary, and then from there on to university. And then at the university, I got a call to come and teach Bible at a theological seminary in Michigan, where I've been teaching for 16 years. So you can see what a tremendous impact the Gideons have had on my life, and not just my life, but also in the lives of all the thousands and thousands of people that I get to teach and preach and write and speak to about the good news of the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ. The impact of the Gideons just keeps going on and on and on.
The Gideons are an extension of this local church with global reach. We are currently distributing over 854,000 copies of God's Word each week around the world. Your faithful prayer support and financial giving to the Gideons have enabled more than 240,000 Gideons and their wives to distribute over 45 million copies of God's Word in 109 languages to 109 countries around the world last year alone. We are currently distributing more than 87 scriptures every minute, with over 2.4 billion scriptures distributed since the Gideon ministry began in 1899. It is still inadequate. There are over 8 billion people in the world today, and the world population is growing at more than 2.5 persons per second. Ultimately, demand for scriptures around the world exceeds our ability to respond. Gideons around the world also distribute Bibles to school children globally. And your support makes this possible. It's truly a missionary arm of the church. And we're going to get there eventually. Nope.
Good afternoon. Well,
That'll work.
What an honor to be here today with you. It is always a joy and a privilege having the opportunity sharing with others what God has done in my life. Revelation 12:11 says, "They conquered him," that's Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb," that's Jesus, "and by the word of their testimony." And that's what I'm going to share with you today. Growing up, I felt abandoned, rejected, and unloved. I was put into a foster home and then adopted at the age of 3. From the time I can remember, I knew I was adopted. I simply couldn't understand my adoption. I thought the very people who brought me into this world, who were supposed to love me and care about me, didn't want me. And so consequently, I found it very difficult bonding with my adopted parents and family. Attempting to deal with this, by the age of 14 years old, I took a lot of pills out of the medicine cabinet, not really wanting to die, but desperately wanting things to change. This began over a year of staying at 5 different mental institutions. When one couldn't help me, they simply sent me to another place, giving me the impression that I was hopeless and that I was helpless. My diagnosis, however, is that of every person that's ever lived, is alive now, or will ever live, and it's called sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." My adopted parents sent me into state's custody, and I appeared before a judge monthly until I was discharged and given back to my adopted parents. Not long after my discharge, when I was 16 years old, my adopted father passed away from a heart attack. And my mom, in her grief, blamed me for all that I had put them through, told me to leave, and that I would never live there again. I contacted my outpatient therapist, who agreed, against all ethics, to take me in. I did not trust anyone, and I could not accept love at the time, and I soon wore out my welcome. She had got me into high school, where I connected with the wrong crowd. I smoked pot and dropped acid. I drank and joined in robberies. One evening, I came home to find that all my belongings were out on the porch. And so I then moved in with my boyfriend and his alcoholic mother. Again, I called my mother to see if I could return home, and the answer was no. What little relationship I had with my boyfriend dwindled to nothing when I found out that I was pregnant, not really wanting an abortion, but believing an abortion was the best thing, given my circumstances. And being adopted myself and going through all that I was and the fact that it was legal at the time, not knowing yet that there's a God who knew us in our mother's womb, has all the hairs on our head numbered, and has a plan for us before the foundation of the world. I didn't know that then. I thought I had found an escape when my boyfriend was jailed for burglary. I signed myself into a drug rehabilitation center in Oklahoma City. It was an adult facility and I was still a minor, but they accepted me, but to no avail. I left before finishing the program. I had remembered an old connection of mine, and I called him up and moved in with him and his mother. He sold cocaine, and she ran a psychic line that I later learned, a little too late, was a cover for an escort service, which is just a fancy way of saying prostitution, later termed sex trafficking. From morning till night, I was always high. I did drugs to relieve the pain of my circumstances, but all it did was create more and more pain. And his mother eventually told me to leave, but gave me a job opportunity. I met with 2 men, much older than I. They set a deck of cards in front of me, saying that I would be dealing cards for the American Legion. This was not, ultimately, what they had planned for my body. There I was at 17 years old, turning my first trick, so they say, for food, clothes, a place to live, and eventually for drugs. They often left me at the dope house where I consumed all sorts of drugs, including heroin. The shame of all which happened to me, the detrimental decisions that I was making, including sexually serving the 2 men, was devastatingly shameful. At this point, I did want to die, and the sooner I could accomplish this goal, the better. Getting very sick, however, I checked myself into another hospital. I was told by the physician, if I kept doing drugs, I would be dead. Receiving another no response from my mother to come home, one of the men who had purchased me took me to where he was from in Northwest Oklahoma. I got pregnant right away, and he asked me to marry him. along with many issues, as you can imagine, coming from this lifestyle and him being 24 years older. He wanted a boy, but when the baby was a girl, he claimed it was not his, and he neglected her. It was easy for me to identify with my daughter's rejection. I had experienced that all my life, and now I saw her going through it. This only led to more drinking and drugs and running. In 1 year, I found myself sitting in a jail cell, awaiting trial, pending multiple felonies, and according to the judge, facing many years in prison if convicted. My husband at the time filed for divorce. I lost temporary custody of my now two children, and all I felt was total despair with suicidal thoughts consuming me. And this is when I started reading a little Bible that had been placed in my cell, knowing it now to be a Gideon-placed Bible. About this same time, two ladies came and knelt down by the opening in my cell, and we called them the church ladies. Now I know they were two ladies from the Auxiliary of the Gideons International. My question for them at this time was, do you have to go through this hell here on earth? And then when you die, you can go to heaven and finally find relief? See, I had always thought if I could just die, then I would go to heaven and it would all be over. But one of them answered, no, you can receive Jesus into your life and he can be your savior and you can know joy and peace right here on earth. And as they moved on down to the next cell, that is exactly what I did. I leaned against the cold, hard bunk, bowed my head, and I said, God, I cannot do this anymore, but if you can, then do it. Jesus, come into my life and be my savior. And when I came up from that prayer, I knew I was changed, and my life literally has never been the same since that day. Hallelujah. Amen. So by the grace of God, I was sentenced to 10 years probation and a suspended sentence and time served. The judge stated that I must complete a drug and alcohol program. In spite of my present fear and the past failures, I took my youngest daughter at the time and I went to a treatment center in Oklahoma. And this is where seeds really begin to grow in my life. There were two pastors that came in every week and began teaching me the Word of God. This was an exciting experience for me. Brother John told me how he used to be an alcoholic himself before the Lord saved him and called him to preach. And I remember getting on my knees and praying, God, if you are really the God that Brother John is saying you are, and you really want me to serve you with all my life, then I'm asking you for three things. I asked the Lord for deliverance from my addictions, the truth about my adoption, and a family that would love each other and serve him together. And by the grace of God alone, I was able to complete that program and show the judge a completion certificate. I was then led to a church by a lady who was working in the clothing room at the homeless shelter where I was residing later when I got out. I was loved tremendously at this church. They taught me what it means to show love. When I was on the streets, it was all about me and how can I get high and how can I survive. And now it's all about Jesus and how I can serve him and others. And they modeled that for me. After a series of events around this same time, I learned about my adoption, which is what I prayed for. Specifics pertaining to circumstances, including doctors noting extreme abuse in our early environment recorded as being severely deprived. Although difficult, it set me free from years of wondering and not knowing. The Bible says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And indeed, it has. In a short period of time, all the members of my biological family were found. After 26 years, there I was, meeting my biological parents and brothers. So now I have not only my biological family, my immediate family, but now I'm a part of an eternal family. And what is even better is that we are all adopted into God's family. No one can come on their own. Hallelujah. Yes. No one can come on their own. They must repent and believe, placing faith in Jesus Christ. I asked God for three things, and He has been faithful to accomplish all three and so much more. Ephesians 3:20 tells us, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask, think, or imagine, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." As of this year and this month, I have enjoyed being clean and sober for 23 years. All glory to God. He did it. My children were raised in a saved, sober, sane home, and now grown and have children of their own. In God's time, He brought also a kind, loving man into my life. Ron, thank you for being here with me today. I now know what it is like to be free of fear of man, serve Jesus, and share ministry in the gospel together in marriage. In fact, Ron recently became a Gideon, and I am now an auxiliary member. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. After the 10-year sentence that I had was complete and another year of an extensive process, the governor of the state of Oklahoma approved and signed my full pardon February 18, 2013. Receiving forgiveness of all crimes from the executive branch of government. This not only brought into the real what Jesus won spiritually through the cross and the resurrection, but also enabled me to pursue a nursing career. I completed a CNA program, then an LPN program, and then obtained my RN. And soon after, I received my BSN through Oklahoma Christian University. They call this a registered nurse, and I call it a redeemed nurse. Amen. I care not only for physical needs, but also the spiritual needs of the people in my care. Just this last year, 2021, I obtained what they called an expungement, the legal language defined as erasure and obliteration of all criminal records, stating, "I can truthfully say these incidents never occurred." It sounds like the gospel to me. God has confirmed again and again my calling to a speaking ministry to proclaim His salvation, love, and healing power in prisons and jails and churches, conferences, schools, etc. The Gideons alone have sent me to well over half the country, now internationally, sharing my testimony of God's salvation and grace. After much Holy Spirit confirmation and prompting, I finished writing the manuscript of my book. It's a more detailed version of my story, titled Rescued, Ransomed, Restored, From Damaged to Delivered. And it is available to purchase today. The very title points to the greater gospel narrative as Christ rescues all His children from the dominion of darkness. He ransoms the many by His very own blood. And restoration is ours for those who are called, repent, and believe. God keeps opening up doors everywhere I go to be in service for Him, which has been my prayer. And He continues to take all my pain and bad decisions, and now He uses them for His glory to help others know Him, offering hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's word. I am beyond thankful for the Gideon Auxiliary Ministry. Don't give up. Your ministry intersected my life when I was most desperate, broken. My life was touched and radically changed through your ministry, efforts, and prayers, and ongoing friendship. When it's your own life, it means everything. Thank you.
Our culture is characterized by chaos. Many of your friends and neighbors live without hope in the world. COVID-19, Hurricane Ian have plunged many into hopelessness. Your Gideon ministry brings hope to the hopeless, as this video demonstrates. There are people around you that need to know Jesus and need to know the hope that he can bring. And their lives, we've come, because of recent events, seen this probably more graphically than in my lifetime. And here in Florida in particular, Hurricane Ian, you all have been close to this, and I have visited a mobile home park in Northport where 30% of the mobile homes were unusable. And people there who had all of their life savings in that home and had nothing left. So that's the material world of promise has disappointed in a big time way. COVID is not respecter of persons. People poor, people wealthy have all died with COVID. So, and I think what this has done, and more recently, the graphic demonstration on network television of a football player having cardiac arrest, a person who was in great physical condition, and just like that, he could have died. I mean, they brought help to him right away. But I think it's a reminder that all that you depend upon, all of the material stuff, all of the physical fitness programs that you work at, I mean, they don't really count. That they're not the source of hope. The source of real hope is Jesus. And you know Jesus. And I can remember, as a college kid, I was a Christian, but I was kind of lost in the first year or so of my college career. But I had a friend who came after me and made sure that I was at a secular academy at the University of Maine, and he was a Swede from northern Maine, Arne Sodergren, and he came to my room and made sure that I came to Bible study. And God was working through Arne and other friends. And why did he come? Because he wanted me to have the hope that Jesus provides. And that was a life-changing event for me. And over the years, I'm off script a little bit here, if you'll give me some room. I was very active in my church. I grew up in the church. My mother was a child evangelism Bible school teacher. We had a Bible club in my house once a week. And I couldn't really get away from that. But at the age of about 4 or 5, listening to Billy Graham on the radio back then, I gave my life to Jesus. And I didn't know all the details, at that age, but I knew that God loved me, and so I walked with him. And I was active in the church all my life, in the church. Let me underline that. I was active in the church. But the people that need to know about Jesus are often not in the church, right? So God spoke to me about that. And the Gideons, I became a Gideon back in the 1980s, and all of a sudden, I had to get out of the church. And it was a little frightening, because like I said in the early part, I thought I would really mess it up. I mean, that's the big concern I think most of us have, is I'm a Christian, and if I go outside and if I try to share my faith with somebody, I'm probably going to mess it up. And just think of the eternal consequences of messing it up. Well, wrong. Because it's not about you. It really isn't. It's about him. And just like my experience with Kimberly, I mean, I just didn't think that was possible. I mean, I knew about friendship evangelism, and, you know, over a course of a couple of years, I mean, Kimberly would have gotten to know Jesus and stuff, and eventually she would become a Christian. But she became a Christian with less than 4 minutes of my work. Now, you think it was my fault that she became a Christian that day? It had really nothing to do with that. I mean, it had to do with the fact that I, you know, was responding to God in obedience that day and asked him to help me plug into what he was doing. He'd already done the work. I mean, when I met Kimberly, she was already well down the path to becoming a Christian. And so that's the message I want you to hear today. You have friends and neighbors, and don't think that your contact is going to be the first one. It's very unlikely. It very likely will not be the first contact. God is working, and he's doing miracles every day, and he's reaching people, like this fellow that was injured on the football field. That had a great impact on a lot of people. A lot of people watched the football, and when they saw that, they were reminded that life is a gift, moment by moment, that we have. It's not guaranteed at all. Every one of us, I mean, I know, I'm an old man. I mean, I know I'm not going to be here 30 years from now. That's the truth. And by the way, you all have a fatal disease. It's called life, right? But the good news is that life in the present, as you heard from Barbara, I could not put that up. I saw that just recently, and I just could not share that, could not come without sharing that. Powerful testimony of the chaos and the hopelessness in her life, and that God reached down in the middle of that chaos and that hopelessness and brought her out by his power and by his grace. And that's what he offers for us. We have the opportunity to participate in his work in the world. He's asking you, if you know Jesus, to join the team, to be part of what he's doing in the world. And that's what the Gideon's all about. I mean, if you don't think that you really know how to do that, that's okay. We can work with that. And we give you the tools. There's some wonderful tools. I mean, this is a great little tool. I really don't have to know a lot to point somebody to the back of the book where the plan of salvation is outlined in detail with references. And they give page numbers here. They don't expect you to know how to go through the Bible. They give page numbers. You can find the reference. So great tools. So you may be wondering how you can help in the ministry of the Gideons. Our number one need is for prayer support, because as we just said, this is not a battle of great delivery of, I mean, obviously, you've been here today. I mean, the brokenness of my presentation is a testimony to God's power, because he, in spite of me, is speaking to you. I know he is, through the things that are going on. And that's a powerful thing. That's the only reason I agree to come here, because I'm really terrified of speaking. But God uses the brokenness to speak his message through. Your consistent support and prayer will enable us to do amazing things. If God has placed it on your heart, I'd ask you to consider a financial gift. $15.60 will provide 10 scriptures around the world. Every scripture we distribute and every salvation story is the result of the prayer and generosity of somebody just like you. The Gideons are an extension of this local church. We cannot do the things we need to do here and around the world without your prayer and financial support. In addition, you have a Gideon display. Does everybody know where the Gideon display rack is? And those cards are free. Yeah, Floyd is pointing that way. and those cards are a great way to, again, accomplish two things. One is a card for a friend, but it's also a way to provide funds, you know, again, to support the minister around the world. I had, back in when I was in the Midwest, I went to a little church, a little small church, very small church. I mean, probably 30 people on Sunday morning. That church was the largest giver to the Gideons in the whole area. And the reason was, thank you, this is my bride. Thanks, Joy. Thanks. And that church, they made a decision to cut out flowers from funerals. And for every person that passed away, they used the Gideon card as a way of celebrating their passing. And as a result of that, they just outgave everybody. I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be big. The point is that every little bit makes a difference. Finally, in addition to your prayer and financial support, we're also looking for a few good men. There are already Gideons here at First Church of God, I know, and auxiliary as well. And from these videos, you can see that there is truly a need. There are many around you that need to know that God loves them. And the Lord is offering you an opportunity to participate in His work in the world. Perhaps it's time for you to get out of the stands and onto the field. I challenge you to pray and ask His direction. I also challenge you to pray the most dangerous prayer. Lord, here I am, reporting for duty. Let your Holy Spirit show me who needs your help today. That's the most dangerous prayer that you can pray. There's truly much work to be done. As Jesus said in Matthew 9:37-38, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And from Matthew 28:18-19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I will be with you always. To the very end of the age. The Lord has offered us the opportunity to participate in his work in the world, and what a privilege that is. And there's nothing like it. Really, nothing like it. So from Proverbs, if you are a business or a professional man and the Lord has been speaking to you about getting involved, we'd like to talk to you. We'll be at the back at the end of the service. And we'd like to encourage you to follow that calling. From Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's a real privilege to be a part of what God is doing in the world today. Thank you, Pastor Ron, for the opportunity to share the ministry of the Gideons with the First Church of God. And may God bless you all as you consider how he wants you to contribute to the ministry of the Gideons, but more importantly, how he wants you to participate in his work in the world.